Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Greetings in our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, in His name. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we open Your Word and we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to guide us, to bring us, Father, more of the truth of this Your Word, and to lead us that pathway of righteousness, so that we don't stumble and fall, Father, and that we can continue on being Your children. Now, Father, for those that are born again, children of God, we know that the study of this Your Word is a great help to all of us, because there is a lot of things that we don't know, Father, that we need to know and to understand to help us to walk straighter and walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to You and to the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Luke. And we're going to be in the 11th chapter. This morning, we went through the 10th and through the first 36 verses of chapter 11. We dealt with a lot of things. One of the things that most of us never think about. Because when we sit down to read the Bible, most read it like reading a storybook, and they don't get the depth and the truth that they should get from the Word of God. We're going to be picking up here now with the 37th verse, and we'll continue on until the Spirit says enough. So where we'll end up, I don't know. All right. 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Always anything they can use as an excuse to talk against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, he'd invited him, but now he didn't like it because he hadn't washed his hands. 39. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravaging and wickedness. You see, it's not the outside that the Lord is looking on. Mainly, it's that inside. Because the inside also will control the outside. So if you've got the inside clean, it can control this outside. Now here in 40, he says, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? He made it all. And he's made all of us, both our flesh and our spirit. But our flesh will not go into eternity. It will go back to dust from where it came. But the spirit is what will go on. The spirit, the soul will go on into eternity. Now, 41. But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. In other words, if you do the things that is expected of you to do, then all things become clean unto us. Now, here in 42, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Like with you and I today, the Lord is our sacrifice. And when we go to him and ask for his forgiveness, and he forgives us, and we ask him, invite him into our lives and turn our lives over to him and stand in faith, in believing in him and the word of Almighty God. You see, we then know to do all things in which the word commands us to do. And And when we study the Word, we learn what those things are and how to bring them about to be done. We are to love our brothers and sisters because we are to love mankind. It doesn't matter whether they are of God or whether they are not, as far as our love goes. Now, those that are walking in darkness with a lot of evil, a lot of things they do, we cannot join them in doing them or being with them when they do it. But we are to love them and pray for them, and to pray for them from the heart, praying that the Holy Spirit will work with them until he can bring them to a knowledge that they need something more than themselves. And in that way, he can lead them unto the Lord Jesus Christ so they too can have life eternal. Now, we come on down here now to 43. It says, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. In other words, they want to be the highest and the most thought of because of their pride. You and I, as born again children of Almighty God, are to do away with that pride of ourselves. We're not to walk with it. We can walk knowing who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are not lifting up ourselves to make ourselves seem to be someone that is truly important to others out, and especially to those that are walking in darkness. We're not to make them feel that we are so much greater than they are. But we are to walk according to the Word, loving them, praying for them, and letting them see the light that is within us, and that light is Jesus, to help them find their way to him and to eternity in heaven. He's letting them know that that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that pride to be boosted up. Think high, more highly than selves. 44. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. He puts it point blank and strong, and he expects you and I to do the same. We're not to argue and have arguments, but we speak the Word in truth and then we leave it between those we speak to and the Lord himself. Now, 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproacheth us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for you laid men with burdens, grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. He's even on to them. 47. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. The ones he talks to thinks they are really somebody, and they don't need anything more. All right, pardon me. Now, 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. He's letting us know, all of us that work with him, walk with him, we are going to face persecutions. And in the last of the last days, not only the persecution, but the beatings and the deaths that will come upon those that follow him, especially those that will be preaching his word. Now, 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. All right, now we're going on into 50. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. A lot of things are going to pass from generations of old into the new generations. Now, because of the evil, we don't live under the old ways. We don't live under the Mosaic law. If we are a child of the living God, we are under grace, which is altogether different. But there are still things that will come against you and I because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we preach the word of Almighty God and we preach it in truth. And it hurts, especially those that are walking in darkness that is full of nothing but evil. And it makes them mad. And they will come against us to persecute us. Now 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Now he's speaking to those of the generation in which he is alive and walking here on the earth. And what happened? Just as he spoke it, it took place. All of the apostles, those disciples, those 12 handpicked men that followed him, all but one died a martyr's death. In other words, they were killed. All except for the one. And the one didn't get off just scot-free because they tried to kill him by boiling him in oil. It just didn't work. Boiling him in oil didn't kill him. And he died of age. And that was John. Now, (clears throat) 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entered in, ye hindered. He's letting them know exactly what they had done and was doing. But they had hindered them, and that they were still actually hindering them. 53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. They wanted an argument. They weren't going to get one. But that's what they really wanted. Because they wanted to get something against him. 54, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Constantly, our Savior, from the time of his birth, at his birth, the king tried to find him to kill him. Even went so far as to have all of the children, male children, 2 years old and under, killed in order to get him. It didn't work. But all through his ministry, yes, there was a lot of them that followed him. There was a lot of wonderful things done. But there was always those there trying to find some way to destroy him and his teaching. Now, we're getting ready to go into chapter 12. We may not get through chapter 12, but we'll see where the Lord takes us. Verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, now this is a great multitude. They're trampling all over each other even. And now he's talking to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He's calling hypocrisy leaven. In other words, if it gets into a group, it will continue to work through that group until it could pull the whole group away. Two, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in falsehood shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Nothing we do is hid, and it will be brought out and revealed. Now, four. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. We're not to be afraid of those that can actually take our life from this body. Because if we are born again child of God and they kill us and take that life from this body, that life is going to go on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which actually is far better. Now, five. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The one that not only can take your life, but will cast that life into hell. In other words, fear the Lord and Almighty God. Think about it. Now, six. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Oh, hair of your head is numbered. Fear not. Therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Hey, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. See, letting you know, you confess me before mankind. We go about telling man about the Lord Jesus Christ, about coming out of darkness, going to him for forgiveness of your sins, and bringing him into your life. You see, this is what he's talking about here. And if we will do that, then he's going to confess us before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You deny him, he's going to deny you. Now, 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. You've heard me tell you about that several times. I told you, there is only one sin that you can't be forgiven for. And I just read it to you. His word, not mine. I know a lot that heard me say that, thought that that was just my word. Well, I just read it to you out of his word. 10. I'm going to read it one more time. Because I don't want nobody doing this. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, you can talk against Jesus and be forgiven. It says, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Now, he gives us a reference there to go and see. Let's take a look at it. We're going to go to Mark 3. Mark 3, verse 28. And it says, verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost has never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Two places with the same thing. We don't want to be flirting with things that way, or even coming close to it. Because you see, he was sent to you and I as a seal of being a born-again child of the living God and bringing to us knowledge, wisdom, strength of faith, and the power of Almighty God to work through us to accomplish the things that God would ask of us to do while we are here on this earth so that he can accomplish things he wants to accomplish. But he now works through man in order to get these things done. And we know that the churches today, most of them, are not working with any power of God at all. And yet, they're having to do it without any excuse, because he tells us exactly what he put into the church. And you know, We've read that many times. I've talked about it many times to everybody. But when it comes up like this, we have those out there that really may have never heard it. But you can find it in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we'll start with verse 26. And it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. 28. And God has set some in the church. Here's what he put into his churches. You tell me how many churches you know of that is operating this way. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. God put all of this into the churches. And they are all worked by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Think about it. You see, that's why the Spirit was sent to us. So these gifts will work in the church. But it takes men that will stand up boldly and proclaim the truth of the gospel of this word and of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Father and of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogue and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Why? Why is it I don't have to take that thought and think about what I'm going to say? But you see, that's why the Holy Spirit's with us. Here in 12. For verse 11 told us we didn't need to think about it. Verse 12 says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. You see, a lot of people don't believe in the things of Almighty God. And don't believe that these things can work in you. But as long as you've got doubt, they won't work. It's not the idea they can't. But you are blocking the work by having that doubt. Now, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. 14. And he said unto him, Jesus talking to him now, and he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? 15. And he said unto them, take heed And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And there's so many. They want everything this world has to offer, but they're not satisfied with just things. They want the best of everything. No. Now, 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, pardon me. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, thus will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Uh-oh. You think the good Lord's going to agree with that? Well, here's his answer. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who's going to have all this stuff you lay up? And on top of that, where are you going to end up in eternity? 24. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, that's where we need our riches. We need those riches of Almighty God laid up before him. By the work we do and the fruits that we bear for him. As we pass through this life, so that he can use each one of us. And I'm going to stop here, because there's no way we're going to get on through that. But we'll stop here, and God willing, we'll pick up here the next time. In the morning, and finish out 12, and see where he'll take us. But there's still a whole lot more to chapter 12, because you see it's 59 verses long. We're stopping here after finishing 21. But we have finished chapter 11 and 12 now. All right. And I pray that all of you will join with me in the morning at 10 a.m. to get as much of this as we can. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we do thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us knowledge wisdom, guidance, and thy power to do thy work. Father, for those of us that have family members that are walking in darkness, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak with them, to work with them, to help to lead them out of darkness and into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as I pray speaking about the light, I'm praying for each one of us, Father, of this ministry, that we let our light shine so that we can help others come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring in the fruit unto you that you are wanting. And always that we walk in love to all man, whether he walks in darkness or whether he is one of yours. We know, Father, there are times the things they do that we cannot be with them as they are doing those things. But then there's times, Father, that we can have a chance to talk with them. Help us and guide us with these talks, Father, so that the words are not ours, but they're your words. And they are spoke through us with authority by the Holy Spirit and thy power to bring them from darkness to light. In the light of Jesus. Father, as we separate now, to each go our own separate way, keep us in hell, keep us safe, Father. And as we lay down tonight, let us rest in peace, your peace, Father, knowing that we are your child and that we can raise in the morning refreshed to face another day and being ready for your call upon our lives. Now, Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless all. And you know, it looks awful good tonight with my computer lit up with all who are listening. It looks real good. And may each one of you receive a blessing from Almighty God. And may you have received something special from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember me through the night. Pray for me. Pray for our church. We are still standing in need. But things are moving closer to where it won't be quite so long for us to hear about this one that we've been waiting on. All right, all of you. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good evening, all.